Because you know what? If someone stands up and says, Lord, we will take the city. We will reach for the nation. God will give us it. He says in the Bible, if you ask of me, I'll give you the nations. He says, go and disciple nations. That's what the mandate was. Isn't that incredible? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the Bible. If you want to turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of those books that I'm so glad that the Lord put it in the Bible. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit inspired to have this book in the Bible. Do you know who wrote Jonah? Anyone know who wrote the book of Jonah? You're all afraid to answer, aren't you? Jonah. He put his name on it. And it's amazing, like with the book of Jonah. I remember in the kids' club in Dolphins Barn, Terry Munnelly, for those who know him, was leading it. And they were after doing like Jonah over the last couple of, for the past few weeks. And at the end of the month, you always done a recap what we learned in the club over the last. And he says, so who was in the fish's belly? And the young fellow put up his hand. He says, Pinocchio's elfly. That's not right, Trevor. It was Jonah. And I just, for the last 2 years, actually, in the pastor's prayer meeting that we have once a month in the city, this has been my prayer, this book. And I've been just hanging out with Jonah over the last 2 years and what God would say. And for all of us that know, like the story of Jonah is he ran from the city that God called him to. And over these last 2 years, in God's changing of my life and my heart and what he's doing in us, was no, you're not going to be like Jonah running away from a city. You're going to be a Jonah that runs to a city and embraces a city. And the journey of God has been absolutely incredible. And I've been just hanging around with this for this last couple of years. And just this week, the Lord put it on my heart to read. And I've been listening to it, actually. It's great stuff on the iPad that you can just listen to the Bible in a lovely King James accent, real lovely English accent. And I've been listening to it and just trying to find God's heart. So what I would say to you over the next couple of weeks, please read the book of Jonah. Ask God, what is he saying? Try find new insight. Actually, even write down, I bet you Noel will speak on this subject next week or something. Have a little quiz with yourself. Give yourself a prize, all that stuff. And Father, we just say, take your word and change us, Lord. Lord, I love you so much, Lord. You have my heart, Lord. I pray, change you, Lord, to be like yours. Take this word, Lord, and encourage us and build us up, Father. Because I am Jonah in so many ways, oh God. Amen. I am Jonah. I think there's a bit of Jonah in us all, yeah? Well, let me just give you a background check on Nineveh, which is the city that God called him to. It was a wicked city. It was a place known for its wickedness. And the people, the Assyrians, were denoted for their wickedness wherever they traveled. The word that the Bible uses about the sin of Nineveh is a word called Shamak, which is the word violence. And it means extreme violence, cruelty, robbing, and injustice. So when anyone said anything about Nineveh, it was like these words were attached. It was a place of extreme cruelty and extreme violence and injustice. The same word is the word that was used just prior to the world when it talks just before the flood. So this word Shamak came before God and God says, I'm going to wipe them out. So it was an extreme place and an extreme word. An extreme place of cruelty. It was notorious. The Assyrians, with Nineveh being the capital of Assyria, they were notorious for their cruelty. When they went into cities, they would chop off arms, chop off heads, and leave piles of bodies along the road to discourage other people. And they went in and they took what they wanted, when they wanted. In history, actually, anthropologists would say that that there was three of the meanest people in the whole world ever in that part of the world at that time. One was the most cruelest people was the Aztecs. The second ones was the Assyrians, and the third was the Vikings, who we would have some history with in this country. And the Assyrians were the Jewish people long-time enemies. They're the people that hated the Jewish people, and the Jewish people in turn seen them as somebody that needed to be avoided and actually needed the judgment of God. Every time the Assyrians would take a city, they didn't take slaves, only women slaves. The Babylonians would take the young men and the brightest and the intelligent, but the Assyrians would take only the women and slaughter everyone else in the place. They'd burn, they were into child sacrifice, sexual immorality was a way of life. And in this story, God says to our man Jonah, it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." It's amazing that God had called this Jewish man to go to a place of his enemies, to speak against it. And as you will see, as we progress, another time God says, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go and cry out to Nineveh. And Jonah, here was Jonah's plight. Jonah was driven by nationalism. He didn't want to go there, not only because they would gouge your eyes out and chop your limbs off and put your head outside another city. That was one part of it. But he hated them. They were his enemy. His nationalism as a Jew was like, go to them. I want them wiped out, God. Yeah, I will go and call down your judgment, but there's no way I'm going to call out, because he says, I know you, God. He says, if they ask for forgiveness, you're going to forgive them. He was disgusted that God would be gracious to them. But he goes on to say he was angry with God, that God would show them any type of grace. He was a racist. And his racism drove him to a place where bring judgment on them, because we don't like them. It was the same spirit that caused Paul to be beaten up in the New Testament every time he mentioned the Gentiles. Every time he mentioned someone outside of the Jewish race, he was dragged out and beaten up. It was the same nationalist spirit that caused Jesus to be put to the cross. And Jonah was experiencing it. And God called him. And it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Can I tell you this morning that no matter where you are in God, and no matter where you're ever going to go in God, it always starts with a word of the Lord. Everything has to start with the word. In the beginning, John says, was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Is that up there? And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the beginning, John, the apostle, says, was the word. Everything has to begin with a word. Everything has to start and happen out of receiving a word from God and moving off of that word of God. It says in the beginning, in the book of beginnings, Genesis, it says, God said, let there be light. There was a word. It began with the word, and everything else that we see around us was created. If it doesn't begin with a word, wait for a word from the Lord. Wait for a word from the Lord. Wait for God to speak. Wait for God. If it takes a year, it's worth waiting on. If it takes energy and time to position ourselves before God to get a word, it is worth waiting on. It's better than any word from a preacher, any word from a pastor, any word from a book, any word from a prophet. When you receive a word from God, it is worth waiting on. Because the word of God says this, that the word of God endures forever. The word of man will fall on the way out the door. But whatever is in God and whatever is of God, it lands and it sticks. It has that stickability. And it causes us to be stickability. If it begins with a word from the Lord, it will last. There's so many that I hear. In our church and in other churches, the Lord said this, the Lord said that, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me to go there. And then the next day it's changed. Or the next week it's changed. Or they're not doing what God had told them to do 6 weeks ago. We can't be that immature anymore. We have to wait on God. We have to say, because when God says it, yet there's a season and a time for everything. But it can't change every minute of the day. And it might be coming from other places. It might be coming from desires in your own heart. It might be coming from your own emotions or your own wishes. But don't attach the word of the Lord to it if you're going to change it again tomorrow. Jonah received a word from the Lord. Everything begins and ends with the word of the Lord. This church is here because of a word from the Lord. 21 years ago, up in a flat in Dolphin House. Sorry, back up now. If you've received a genuine word from the Lord and you're not doing it, start doing it. And do it the easy way, because we'll see with Jonah next week. God has a fish waiting on you to swallow you up and put you where he wants you to be. Or he needs you to be, or you need to be. One or the other. So if, as I'm saying, you go, my goodness, I really felt that was the Lord. Check it. Test it again. Bounce it off the word of God. Bounce it off of a prayer anvil. Pray, bounce it off someone that you trust in God. And wait on God either to affirm it or to dismiss it or to put it on the back burner for another time. But if God has said something, go ahead and listen. And 21 years ago, up in Dolphin's Barn, we were being creamed out by drugs and HIV. We were burying people every week. I think we went to funerals for 2 years nearly every week. I'm standing on the graveside of another young man or woman that we grew up with, that we went to school with or we didn't go to school with, whatever the case may be, standing there where there was no hope in the community whatsoever. And we were walking through the flats and a girl who later died shouted over to us, her name was Caroline. She says, Sharon Noel, do you hear about Linda? She's 3 days to live. I would get out of sight as soon as someone mentioned drug or AIDS because I knew my brothers had HIV. And I just wasn't able to handle that. And I walked into the house and Sharon kept talking out on the block to the girl. And I must have been going somewhere later on. So I took out, I was shaving. I looked in the mirror. I put on a tape. It was a man singing from Wales called Ray Bevan. Lord, feel through me, heal through me, touch through me and weep through me. And the Holy Spirit fell upon me. And I fell on my knees and I wept a million tears. Whipped a million tears. It's like an Alan Michael Jackson. I wept what seemed to be a million tears. I was on my knees on the floor. I reached up to get my Bible. I opened my Bible up where I was reading that morning. It wasn't a random or it was like I just got my little my bookmark and opened it up. I was reading Luke chapter 5. And I says to God, "You, if you're the same yesterday, today and forever, you must want to do something about this situation." And I pulled my Bible down, I opened it up where I was reading that morning, and I went to the next little paragraph, and a leper comes to Jesus. And he's, you know, no one touched lepers. Nobody went near these people. There was no hope for lepers in Jesus' day. They had to go around with a bell saying, unclean, unclean. Everybody knew who they were. They were ostracized from their community, ostracized from their family. Nobody wanted anything to do with the community of lepers. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you're willing, will you make me whole? Will you make me clean? And Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And he says, I'm willing, be clean. And throughout that, God communicated, come on, we do something in this community, Noel. Will you reach out to these people? And I got up off the floor with a million people in my heart. I got up off the floor after weeping and weeping with a love for a community. Why? Because it started with a word from the Lord. It wasn't a bright idea or a nice spark. And you know what? When it's the word of the Lord, it lasts. And not only when it's a word of the Lord, it lasts. The word of the Lord is full of creative power. Because I didn't see you back then. I didn't see God touching cities and touching nations back then. It started with a word of God, but it evolves. The word of God is always creating. It's always creative. There's a creative element to the word of God that keeps on going and keeps on going. Have I ever needed another word about this church or about what God wants to do? I've never. And every time I've asked for it, the Lord would say, I'll give you one. And I'd always go back because one word from God, and he spoke the world into existence. It was creative. Someone says, you know why we can't count the stars? Because when God created them, his word went out. And it's always creating more and more and more. That's why they're finding new species everywhere. God didn't say, I'm going to stop. The word is always regenerating and always renewing and always refreshing. If it begins with a word from the Lord, it will have creative power. I remember 20 years ago, 15 years ago, someone told me when it was. This area had nothing going for it whatsoever. And the Lord gave us a word in the intercession about speaking to the valley of dry bones. Anybody remember it? Shake their hands at me. You remember we were up in the parish center and we stood like lunatics prophesying to these streets. Prophesying to the community, there wasn't one new building. The bank moved out and the funeral parlor moved in. That's where the business was. The buildings were dilapidated. People were moving out in their droves. And I remember we were up there and we were prophesying new life, new amenities, new buildings, new businesses to come in. And that when they come in, we would see them as parts of the dry bones coming together and making a noise. And we said we made a commitment that we wouldn't stop till the Spirit of God came and infused the body, infused the people that are in the community. And we look around today, and every time I walk around this area and see the newness of the things of that were old and broken, and the new people and the new amenities and the new shops and the new business and the new enterprises that is in their community, I go back to the creative word of God and say, yes, Lord. Now there's more to come. The best is yet to come. If it starts with a word that has creative power attached to it, amen? If it's a word from the... It was a long night last night. If it was a word from the Lord, it will stand the test of time. It will stand the battering that you take when you have a word of God in your heart. It will stand the confusion that comes in. It will stand the attacks that comes in. It will stand your own self. When your own self takes the promises and says, I don't want them. When your self says, I don't see it happening, God. If it's a word from man, it will fall to the ground. And it will tickle your ears at the moment, or on the moment. But if it's a word from God, it stands the test of time, amen. If it's a word from God, it's a source of strength and encouragement. And the amount of times that you have to go back to the word of God that he gave you and say, no, I don't care what this circumstances say. I don't care what I'm not seeing. I know what I heard. I know what I received. I didn't only just receive a cold-blooded word. I received an experience of love and grace that came with the word of God. It's not just something that is cold. It's like a contract. There you go, sign it. When the word of the Lord comes, there's a feeling with it. There's an experience with it. There's faith that comes with it. There's faith that has be always re-emerging or pushed up again and again. If the word of God, if it will be creative, it will stand the test of time and it will be the source of strength and encouragement. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Everything begins with a word from God, and Jonah received a word from God. In Jonah's mind, the bottom line was Nineveh was ripe for judgment and he was going to be in on it to see it happen, until he realized that God says it's not for judgment. It's for an act of repentance and a city coming to know him. And Jonah says, that's it, I'm out of here. Jonah says, find some other chump to go and do it because I'm not going. Geographical, Nineveh was there and Joshua went 1,800 miles that way. He's like, I am out of here. He done a runner. He ran from the presence of God. He ran when God's command was to obey. Jonah's response was, no way. When God's command was, obey me, he was like, I am getting away from you, God. I'm going in the opposite directions. I am running from your presence. When I get on that boat, because he figured if I get on the boat to Tarshish, that's me and God finished. As if God can't get on boats. As if God can't be in the sea. As if God can't be waiting on the other side. He says, if I remove myself physically from the presence of God. Listen to what it says. yeah, Jonah ran from the presence of God. He says, I need to get away from the presence of God. I need to get out of here. I need to get out from away from him. I need to get on a boat. I need to go somewhere. I heard the word of the Lord. I've put the word of God to his side. I've ignored it. I'm going to disobey it. I'm getting out of here. And Jonah got on a boat. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm not a dry preacher. Just ask them. They're ringing wet with the... If you're running from God, stop. Because you can't run from him. He's too big. He's the everywhere God. He's omnipresent. He's there when you wake up and he's there when you lie down. He knows the thoughts on your mind before they ever come. Don't run from the presence of God. Whatever you do, don't run from the presence of God. But I know in experience that I there's times when I've wanted to remove myself from the presence of God, because every time I'm in his presence, I feel his heart and I feel his burden for people and I feel how he wants to reach. And if you're not in that space, you want to remove yourself and you get over here and you give out and you get into your flesh. And you get into human thinking alone and you start making decisions just based out of carnal desires and what you want and I want and what we don't want, and we become Jonah. I am Jonah. I've been Jonah. I've testified that I've been a Jonah. I've ran away from God. But I want to tell you, you can't get away from him. It's impossible. Listen to what David says. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even then you're there. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. Psalm 139. You can't get away from it. You'll go somewhere and someone will tell you about Jesus. Just ask Stephen May's testimony the next time you see him. 8 places in the world he went, and every station someone told him about Jesus. You can't get away from him. What has God said to you that you're trying to get away from? What has he spoken into your heart? You know, and we talk about a city, but the first city we have to take is this city. The first transformation happens in me and you. So I don't want us to be naive and think I'm just talking about running away from the city. I want to bring it down to land on who we are. And from that position, we'll take the city. What are you running from? What are you hiding in? What boat are you hiding in away from the presence of God? In your own senses, if you go somewhere, he's there. If you go back to the world, he's there. If you go further in ministry, he's there. What are we hiding from? What are we saying? If I just get out of the presence of God, he won't ask me for that. What is it? I want to call us back to the presence of God. I want to call us to go after him with everything that is within us. Lord, you know what? It pains to give up part of this city. It pains not to be the keeper of the gate of this city, Lord. Nelson Mandela said yesterday, I was looking at Invictus again for the 23rd time. And Nelson Mandela's, when he knelt down at his bed in that cell in Devil's Island, was it? Robben Island. He kneels down and he says, I'm the captain of my own ship. I'm the captain of my own ship. And I like it, and I don't like it. Because I want to give up the captaincy of this ship. I want to say, Jesus, will you be the captain? I'll be the co-pilot, but will you be the captain? Will you be the one? Because every time I try to be the captain, I bring myself into places I don't need to be. I bring myself into thinking I don't need to think about. And Nelson Mandela, yeah, the only time I'm going to be the captain is to say, Jesus, I'll give you the captaincy. And I've made a decision based on who I am and full in my full senses with all of my will. And I give it over to you and say, Jesus, you be the captain of my boat. Amen? The reality is that we are people of the presence of God. We are people of the presence. We are people that are filled with the presence of God. When you give your life to Jesus, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't get away from him. You know why? He lives in us. And he wants, not only does he want us to be people, when he says this to Moses, Moses, go into the promised land. Go into the promised land. There was battles to be fought, victories to be won, adventures to be experienced, giants to overcome, new orders and new governmental orders from heaven to be established. He says, Moses, go in and take it. And Moses said this to him, I will not go in without your presence. Jonah runs away. Moses runs too. You go into the promised land without the presence, you get beaten up by the giants. You go away from God, run away from his presence, you get swallowed by the big fish. You go in with God's presence and you have victory. Listen to this, we'll finish with this. Moses says to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me, Moses. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Moses says, remember, Lord, this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless your presence goes with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth unless your presence is with me? And the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses says, show me your glory. The presence of God is everything. We are called to be people of his presence. When we lose genuine hunger for his presence, we end up with dried out, burnt up, law-abiding religion. When we go without his presence, there's no intimacy. When we settle for no presence, we have no power as a people. If we settle for no presence of God, we've no victory in our lives. The Lord was not sending Jonah to Nineveh on his own. He was sending Jonah to Nineveh with his presence. He says, Jonah, I'm not just going to send you into a place like that without me going with you. But when we don't have his presence, we've no victory. All we have is religion. All we have is something that is burnt out and that will burn us out eventually, that we will move away from who he is and what he has for our lives. That we'll settle for form and ceremony. And we'll even go to church and we tick the boxes. I went to church. I get me tired. I said a prayer. I sing with the choir. I sang in the worship band. Blah, 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 blah. And all you'll have in your life is bland, 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 bland living. But his presence, there's power and there's victory. And there's creativeness. And there's juiciness in his presence. There's absolutely wondrous expressions of who he is when you go after his presence. And Moses says this. He says, okay, Moses, you have me presence. And then Moses says, okay, show me your glory. I'm like, what's the difference there? What's the difference of his presence and his glory? For me, the glory is the manifestation of his power and his miracles and his signs and heaven and angels' visitation and divine manifestation. Moses, and so God gives us a principle, go after my presence and I'll show you my glory. Go. And Moses said it real cheeky, okay, then show me your presence. God says, okay, I have a place for you. Come up to the mountain, get into the rock, I'll go by you. So I want us to start off the Jonah journey as a people who will hear the word of the Lord. Not just any old words. You hear what I'm saying when I'm saying that? A word that is tested and tried. A word that has brought creative power into your life. A word that has brought sustainable power into our lives. And that we would start off as a people who say, I want to be a person of the presence. And how do we get the presence of God? Seek him. Wait on him. Go into your room. Say, God, here I am. I listened to these guys yesterday.
the fathers of the faith, we'd have all have read their books. One of them was Jack Deere. There was another couple of older men, like in their 70s, walked with God all their lives. And a CEO of a business, he was saying to them about waiting on God and being in God's presence. And the CEO of a business, a Christian man, said, "Well, I haven't got time to do that." And the old man said, his response was, "Well, then you don't know who I'm asking you to meet." So convicting. He says, have time that you're not rushing away from God. And he says to the businessman, "If you think you haven't got time to meet the King, you don't know who I'm talking about." And I don't know about you, but that's in my heart I go, "Father, forgive me. Because sometimes I don't know who I'm really moving away from." So Lord, here we are. Oh, I had a great slide there. Did the slide of the city come up there? I think it was the first one, Mal. Second one? Nineveh was a caged city. It's okay. It's okay. Just move back and let someone deal with it. Peter. It's okay. Guys, don't crowd. Sorry. She's all right. Just turn and face me for a minute. She okay? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we bless you. And we just want to respond to God in any which way we see fit. What bow have you decided to get that's outside of what God has for you? Here's the word of the Lord. Stop running. Stop running. Stop running. You gave me your life. You're mine. I purchased you with the blood of Jesus. You belong to me, says God. You gave me your life, remember? Remember you said, change me. Remember you said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Remember? So rip up the boat ticket. Rip it up and say, God, I want no other way than your way. And Lord, it's hard, but Lord, I want your way. I'm stopped running. I'm stopped running. And Lord, I release, Father, the strength of your word that you've given us into our lives. Have you got a personal word from God? If you have, just put up your hand. Just something that God spoke into your life at some stage of a promise, of a ministry, just something. Okay, well, those who have. Daddy, my goodness, let's release more. So Lord, just for these guys to have a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to, boom, your name. I release the power that's in that word, oh God. I release the creative power, the victory power, the sustaining power that's in the word of God. I release it into your life. I release the next stage of that word in your life. In Jesus' name. And those who haven't got a word, a life word, something that you go, no, I'd love to have a word I'd hang my life on, you put up your hand. If you only knew, praise God, this is a great day to be here. Don't be shy, put up your hand. If you want it, of course. Amen. So Lord, I pray right now for ears that are open and spirits that are open to receive the word of the Lord into hearts right now, oh God. That Lord, tonight, tomorrow, Lord, when we pick up the word, it would come alive. That we would hear you speak directly into our life now about our future in you, Lord God. A word, Lord, that will sustain, that will have an experience attached to it, Lord God. That will have creative power, Lord. Lord, I pray for eyes and hearts to be open to receive from you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray for those, oh God, each one of us, that, Lord, we says we're going to stop running, so we're saying, Lord, we're going to run to you now, Lord. And we're going to say, Lord, we want to be a people that is filled with overflowing presence of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.